Okay, well, I made it back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and of course my website is crosstheborder.org. I'd like you to go there and shoot me an email. Anyway, let's jump back into our text here. We've spent the last half hour talking about government, judges, and I think that it would be a great idea that to have a government set up like that. It's just too bad that that people just revert to disobedience. Okay, where did we leave off here? We're in chapter 18, and let's just pick up here at verse 18. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So it shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this, and God command thee, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people, and so this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifty, and rulers over tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Okay, that's for chapter 18, and now we're in chapter 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and Yahuwah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And I like that phrase, bore you on eagle's wings, and I believe that I need to remember that scriptural phrase, because I believe that is a phrase that is used in the Revelation. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and that's what I've been talking about, his government, obeying his voice, us learning obedience. Because if we don't want to learn obedience, then we have no business in his kingdom. Because that's not where we want to be. It has a lot to do with our desire. Our Heavenly Father is looking for a people to inhabit His kingdom, but a people that desire to be obedient to Him. And that's why I say, you know what? The kingdom of our Heavenly Father, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, all of these are synonymous. But it's always been here. It's been here from the beginning. From when Adam and Eve learned disobedience, by being disobedient, because they didn't know what it was, and they changed their mind real quick afterwards, and they learned obedience. They desired to be obedient, and this is evident as we went through Genesis. We discussed that, where we see that they were looking forward to the seed, that the promise of the Redeemer. So because they were looking, and that's what the righteous people do. Those that live in His kingdom are looking forward to the redemption, to the promise. They were looking forward to the seed through whom the Messiah would come, the seed of the woman. Of course, now the woman had to be born of a man, of the seed of a man, of a lineage of man. But then that new seed came, and now we look back to the promise. We look back to what our Messiah did for us when he shed his own blood in our place. So we look forward. They were looking forward to him coming and shedding his blood and that redemption. Now we look back to what he did and the promised redemption that we will enjoy at the resurrection. So he says here, I should have marked my place. I do that a lot. Okay, so Moses went up unto God, and Yahuwah called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, you know, if the works aren't there, it's not indeed, is it? But if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. And that's what we are. If we obey his voice indeed, and we keep covenant with him, then we are a peculiar treasure to him above all people. And of course, here he specifically is speaking to the physical house of Jacob, the nation of Israel. But this applies to us that obey his voice indeed and keep his covenant. We are a peculiar treasure. He says, Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And then he just qualifies it. For all the earth is mine. Even those people who don't belong to him, who don't keep covenant with him, they're his. He can do with them whatever he wants. No one can bring an accusation against the Almighty because he judged the Egyptians or because he told the children of Israel. He commanded them to go in there and, you know, slaughter every one of these pagan idolatrous people that were offering their children to Molech. And if he said, go in there, kill every one of them, then, you know, he is the supreme ruler of the universe. Everyone has already received their death sentence justly. Your mortality is your death sentence. That is just. It's just that you received it. It may not be fair. It certainly isn't fair. You know, I didn't, you know, Adam and Eve sinned. It's not fair that I receive that mortal death sentence, that I be born with a death sentence on me, born into a condition of mortality. That's not fair. But justice has little to do with fairness. Yes, fairness has a lot to do with justice and what is fair. But fairness is not the ultimate in doctrine and in settling issues and judgment. Sometimes fairness is a good thing, but it's not always a good thing. Righteousness and justice should prevail always above fairness. You know, I mean, you could say that, well, if it's fair that if someone else gets away with murder, it's only fair that I get away with murder too. And you can see where a fairness doctrine or fairness as a rule of government does not work. So while it may not be fair, it is certainly just that we are all born with a death sentence. We are all born into mortality rather than eternal life. It is just. And nobody argue, very few people argue with that one. And most people don't even think of the argument. They just accept mortality as a given. They just ignore mortality. But mortality is justice because we're all born in sin. And that's all evident by the fact that we all eventually sin. We all lie, cheat, steal at least once in our life and honestly more than once. So it is just. But who can bring an accusation against the Almighty? No one. Because everything he does is just. We have to believe that. We have to trust him with that. Perhaps everything he allows isn't just, but everything he allows is to punish and to judge sin in the flesh. He allows a lot more than I feel comfortable with, obviously. Okay. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So, Moses is getting his marching orders. This is what he's supposed to preach. And you know, I have I wrote a Pledge of Allegiance. And as it happens, that I'm in a position where I have a young daughter that's 6 years old, had for reasons that I don't like, I have to send her out to school. And my choice was between public school and a private Christian school. And of course, it's costly and it's a sacrifice, but in obedience to my Heavenly Father, I sent her to a private Christian school because that was the best of two evil options as far as I'm concerned. And but anyway, walked in there one day and they were doing the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, and you know how it goes. And to me, that's idolatry. To me, I find it repugnant. And so I went home and I prayed about it, and I wrote this Pledge of Allegiance and to teach to my daughter. And I believe this is from my Heavenly Father, and you better believe that it is 100% scriptural. And if you've listened to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, you'll hear it at the breaks, interspersed with the network IDs. And it goes like this: I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to His kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under our Heavenly Father, or the Heavenly Father, whichever way. I wrote it, the Heavenly Father, but when we say it here, we say our Heavenly Father, because He indeed is our Heavenly Father. Even though the whole earth is His, as He proclaims here, the whole earth is mine, He is not everybody's Heavenly Father. But He is indeed the creator and owner of everything. But He's our Heavenly Father. So, anyway, let me start it over again for those of you who haven't heard it. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to His kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation under our Heavenly Father, with grace, mercy, and justice for all. And then we say hallelujah. And well, what sparked me on that? He says a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and that's what His kingdom is. And that's, you know, I would not pledge, and I know there's another one out there that I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. Well, the Christian flag is still a flag. It's still an inanimate object, and I just find it repugnant to pledge allegiance to an inanimate object. So I can't do that one either, and that's why I wrote mine. And my daughter knows it now very well. She can shake it off in a minute, and I guess maybe perhaps the real challenge is teaching her exactly what it means. But she's learning. And, you know, sometimes, and you parents know how it is, sometimes you think, oh, you know, you worry about this child. Some of them are so strong-willed, and I have a strong-willed one, my youngest. And you wonder, oh my, you know. But then you get little signs, little indications that, you know, and you see it, that yes, indeed, they are learning. And yes, you see the interest in the things of our Heavenly Father, and you see the understanding coming, and you get a little reassurance, because sometimes you just don't know what to think, and you wonder, you know. But and then that's when you go to you're driven to your knees and going, please, Heavenly Father, you know, what good is it if I make it, you know? And I preach to thousands, and a few of them are saved, and my own children burn in hell. What good is that, you know? Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my children. So we, and then and my daughter heard some other people. So I taught her the Pledge of Allegiance, of course, before I sent her to school, because when I went there to enroll and to seek out, and I heard the children doing this, and I go, this ain't happening, you know. And so when my daughter finally went, she says, yeah, they say it wrong. I say, you don't say it wrong, do you? She says, nope. So she's learned well that just because everyone else is doing something, she doesn't have to do it, that she has to obey her father first. The school is not her authority. I am. But, you know, even with a private Christian school, it's still a struggle. You still got to watch them. And you got to monitor and make sure that you teach your children well, because indeed, as it says here, we are the priests. The fathers are the priests of their household. And here it is in Exodus 19:6, "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." And I just, you know, these few verses here, where Yahuwah, I mean, this is the Almighty, the Creator, He is speaking these words, you know, I'm sure in a pure Hebraic language or whatever, maybe He's speaking them directly, you know, maybe it's not, it's the Spirit speaking to Him, the Spirit of our Heavenly Father. And, you know, another thing I have a difficulty with is separating the Holy Spirit from the Heavenly Father, saying that He's a different person. Well, I'm not sure about that. That's why I always say, He's the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father. You know, His Holy Spirit. It's His Holy Spirit. You know, I have a spirit. It's not separate from me. It's my spirit. And if I'm created in His image, then He has a Holy Spirit. It's His Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of the Heavenly Father, and here you have God Almighty, Yahuwah, right? And He's saying these wonderful words to Moses. He's saying, you know, you see what I did. He says, Moses went up unto God, and Yahuwah, it uses the name in the Hebrew here, the Tetragrammaton. First it says God, and Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yahuwah, His name, called unto Him out of the mountain. So He's calling to Him out of the mountain. And He said, saying, "Thus you shall say." So He's calling these words out to Moses out of the mountain. "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." And, you know, that's jam-packed there too. The house of Jacob. That's referring to the old man of the flesh. Jacob, the old man of the flesh. So there's our evangelism. We're to call those out that aren't in. We're to call the old man to the newness, to be renewed into life, and tell the children of Israel. Israel is His new name. Jacob is the old man of the flesh. Israel is the renewed man. So He says, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed." You know, oh, Heavenly Father, teach me, teach us. You know, isn't that your heart's cry? Oh, let it be your heart's cry, Jacob. You know, become a child of Israel. You know, make it your heart's cry. And if it isn't your heart's cry, cry out and say to Yahuwah, say to our Heavenly Father, say, "Make that my heart's cry." You know? "If you will obey my voice, indeed, teach me obedience. Give me a desire to learn obedience, a desire to please you. If you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, keep covenant with me, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." I want to be that. Make me that, Heavenly Father. You know, that's my heart's cry. Please. Please let it be your heart's cry. A peculiar treasure to Him above all people. And He says, "For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." And we start in our own household. We, the fathers of our each and individual household, we are the priests of our house. But He is our high priest, because all the earth is His. And a holy nation. Do you want to be part of this holy nation? A holy nation. And if you go to my website, you'll see the Pledge of Allegiance there that I wrote. Holy nation. One holy nation under our Heavenly Father. We have a King of Kings. But we each are kings and priests in our own house. And in our own families. And as judges between families. If we truly were able to set up or could set up a government of judges, kings, and priests like He calls us to be. He says, "These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel." And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all the words which Yahuwah commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that Yahuwah hath spoken we will do." Then we'll do it. What we just discussed. Will you do it? Will you cry out, say, teach me obedience? Will you hearken to his commands, obey his voice indeed? Keep covenant with him? Become a peculiar treasure to him above all people? Will you do it? That's the desire of my heart. And you know what? I believe that's why you're listening to me today, because it's the desire of your heart. Anyway, and all the people answered together and said, all that Yahuwah has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Yahuwah. He said, yes, they said they will do it. Of course, you know, is there anything that he doesn't know already? But they have a covenant. They have a deal. And what is the deal? That they would hearken to his voice, obey his voice indeed, and keep his covenant, and become a peculiar treasure unto him above all people. That's the covenant, basically. And, you know, we can boil it down. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the land that I live in, that is the principle that it was founded on. And I believe in, when you read in the Revelation where it says, and a beast rose up out of in the wilderness, a second beast rose up in the wilderness, and it was lamb-like. It had two horns like a lamb, that it was lamb-like. And I believe that is actually referring to the United States of America, because it is truly, you know, has been a light on a hill. But the principle that makes it lamb-like is this principle. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the principle that America was founded upon, the government. When they separated from England, that was the principle. That was the founding principle. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's where we get our rights from, you know, our God-given rights. But they didn't really incorporate, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That was not one of the principles that embodied the founding of this nation. But the one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was the founding principle in America. And that was demonstrated by the fact that you had unalienable rights, of course, from the Creator, and you could do anything as long as you did not violate the rights of your neighbor. So you had the right to do anything that did not violate the right of your neighbor. And that is the principle, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, embodied in that statement. And that is the founding principle upon which this nation was founded. And so everything that has come after, you know, all these rules and regulations, well, they keep regulating and ruling us to death with new rules and regulation, but the principle is, you know, why do they have the stoplight down at the corner, you know, that turns red and everybody stops? Well, because you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that means that you want to give your neighbor a turn. You don't always want to let your neighbor go first, because then you could never go. So we take turns going. Why? Because we love our neighbor as ourself. But now if I pull up to the stop sign and there's nobody else at it, how's me sitting there for a red light, loving my neighbor as myself? See, it gets ridiculous. And now somebody's going to not love me by giving me a ticket because I didn't wait for nobody. See, that's not the spirit of the law. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.